Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Security expert, ex-Tijuana policeman, and all things expertise in Mexico and all the cartels and what's going on over there and the Chinese and Mexico and the cartels. Very interesting stuff coming with Ed Calderon. He's going to tell you things that are going to make your skin crawl. We'll do that.
And now, another honorable mention from the cutting room floor for the 2020 ACE Awards. For Best Porno Play-by-Play, Gina Grad.
Jane Kennedy, she, I think, had a bootleg porn video. She may have been like one of the first like weird outed porn bootleggy. Somebody took it and pushed it out there like way before the internet.
I'm looking at it.
Are
doing
you?
My due diligence.
Are
I
you?
Am.
Call the boy into the room so he can learn about life.
This is it's grainy.
Right.
It's not, you know, of this is definitely from yesteryear, but it's hard to tell. Did she know?
The 2021 ACE Awards coming this December on the Adam Carolla Show.
Former Tijuana cop Ed Calderon, international security specialist and combatives instructor as well, has joined us, a favorite of the show. Good to see you, Ed.
Good to see you.
We'll get into all the combative stuff and how that works in a couple of few, but we got a little time. What's going on in Mexico? There's COVID. There's our election. Things are changing. What do you perceive? What do you know?
Well, it's pretty interesting seeing the reaction of the Mexican president and his refusal to recognize Biden even when he won the elections.
Oh, really? I didn't even hear that.
So right now, a weird thing is happening where he's basically doubling down on his kind of loyalty towards the Trump administration. And it's been weird because presidency in Mexico is a leftist president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, openly Maduro type character. And during his time in the presidency in Mexico, apparently some sort of relationship was struck between Trump and him. And, you know, things like renegotiating some of our immigration policies in Mexico, things like trade deals between Mexico, Canada, and stuff like that happened during Trump's time and his relationship with Mexico. But now you're seeing this weird kind of like a shift where you know Mexico's president is refusing to recognize the incoming kind of Biden administration.
Wow, that's surprising.
It is.
What do you think that? What's causing that?
Well, there was a very high level arrest of a general in California. The DEA arrested a general by the name of Cienfuegos, who was basically our version of the he was the head of all operations against the cartels as far as the defense secretary in Mexico during the past administration. And you can see that unprecedented arrest and release. The prosecutor basically dropped all charges and let him go, put him on a plane back to Mexico after El Presidente down there basically said, I'm going to kick out all your DEA guys unless you let him go.
Mm-hmm.
So weird thing about that arrest, one, he was let go despite all the overwhelming evidence that he was basically talking to members of a single cartel and kind of like, helping them out with their operations in Mexico. This from a general.
Mm-hmm.
So when you kind of look at it and you kind of start figuring out why he was let go, with the overwhelming evidence, you can see some of the political pressure that happened probably from Mexico and the U.S. But you would think, you know, Mexico doesn't have enough leverage to make the U.S. let somebody go, right?
Right.
You wouldn't think about that. But what I've kind of heard from a few people in the know and with some of my dealings down there it probably is a case where this general was probably an asset for the CIA at some point working down in Mexico. And this is during the Biden Obama administration where he was active. So high level corruption in Mexico, government official basically working for the CIA as an asset, probably by all the signs that he's providing. And they let him go, right? So why would you let somebody go like that? Well, because he knows a lot.
Right.
And he knows a lot about a single political enemy of somebody that is going out of the White House, and he's being hand-delivered back to Mexico.
Oh, so he probably had something on the Biden-Obama administration.
You know, the open secret is there's corruption in Mexico at high levels, and there's also corruption at high levels in the U.S. in some administrations and even in some law enforcement agencies like the DEA. And, you know, obviously the CIA probably has some shady dealings going on.
Well, if I know CNN, they'll get to the bottom of this.
Well, I don't know. To me, it seems like an ace in the hole for Trump. To letting somebody like that,
Oh, then maybe they will get to the bottom of it. The policy that I like that Trump implemented that I think Biden's going to reverse is if you're coming to this country, you got to stay in the country you're coming from or Mexico. So I guess if you're going to leave Honduras and try to come to the United States, you're going to pass through Mexico, then you got to stay in Mexico, not come here.
Yeah.
And then we'll process you here or you wait a trial or or whatever. You stay in Mexico, which just completely on a just basic sort of common sense thing kind of makes sense to me. But I wouldn't think Mexico would be a fan of that.
Well, it's not a lot of people are a fan of it. The cartels are a fan of it. The cartels are a fan of people waiting in Mexico. The cartels are a fan of some of the open door policies because they basically make money off busing people all the way to the border and earning money from people crossing into the U.S.
But why would they be a fan of having to stay in Mexico?
Well, they're a fan of any policy that makes a group of people live in a single place forcibly, and they basically live off extortion, selling drugs to these groups, protection, and we're offering a means of circumventing the immigration process by crossing them over the border.
So they just have a bigger pool of potential clients.
That's it. And also, you have to realize that the caravans that were non-existent only a year ago, people say COVID, it's realistically Mexico made it a bit harder to cross.
Mm-hmm.
There are caravans forming now. They're waiting. They're just waiting for the spring to hit so they can make it all the way up, right? So it's a phenomenon that's starting up again. So
do you think the Biden administration and whatever they'll implement or sort of de-implement, undo the stuff will create more caravans?
Well, I think people should keep an eye on the Mexican government's reaction to the change of the administration. What Trump did was pressure Mexico into enforcing its own borders. That's what he did. That's specifically what he did. Mexico's southern border was not, you know, there was no fence realistically. There's a river, there's a bridge, and there were people swimming across, and there was no enforcement to speak of. I mean, federal agents were pelted with rocks by one of the caravans when they came through, and, you know, nobody did anything. Trump basically used trade agreements and the tariffs to pressure the Mexican government to do what it should do, which is protect its own borders. Without that pressure anymore, I'm asking the people out there to kind of keep an eye on what is going to happen on Mexico's southern border to see if that is going to be enforced anymore. I don't think it is. So I think there's going to be basically a
Mexico's southern border.
Yeah.
So that's with Central America, right?
Yeah. So basically, Trump outsourced border protection to Mexico, and that's going away with his administration. And now we're going to see what this new policy is going to be about. I think people should keep an eye on what happens at that if you see a giant, another one of those caravans on that Mexican southern border, and you see those doors open, you will see that political pressure from the U.S. as far as Mexico enforcing its borders be gone. That's when you're going to start seeing the change, I think.
Seems to make sense to want Mexico to enforce their borders if you're the U.S., but
and if you're Mexican, the last caravan went through all Mexico, and most of Mexicans were like this.
Come on by, go through, don't stop,
right?
You were talking about it like sort of seasonally, like we'd have to wait. Like, is there a rainy season or is there a weather situation?
There's a few rivers that they might want to cross. So probably not a good idea doing during rainy season. There's also really, extreme colds in some parts of Mexico that might want to cross. Another interesting thing. Last time we had a major caravan form down there and make it all the way to the border, they went to Tijuana. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of not, it didn't make sense to most people. It made sense to me. They wanted a spectacle. So why not go to the most populous border, region in Mexico and the U.S.? And also why not go, to where California is?
Mm-hmm.
So you have all the political support of your caravan. I think the next one is probably going to go to Texas though. And the reason I'm saying this is, the ability to move people from the southern border of Mexico to Texas is a pipeline that's a mixture of buses, riding trains. A lot of horrible things happen on the way. And one of the main reasons why the caravan went to Tijuana was to avoid some of that. And also a lot of the people that were in that caravan were 18 street gang members from South America. And if you're an 18th Street gang member, you don't want to go through the eastern part of Mexico because that's where the Barrio 13, or the 13th Street gang members kind of allied themselves with some of the cartels there. So that's not friendly territory.
What is a gang versus a cartel? Meaning in Mexico, like here we have gangs, yeah. We don't really have cartels, or maybe not the Mexican version of a cartel, but do the gang members get sort of caught up in the cartels, or do they kind of remain separate entities?
They're contractors.
Oh, they're contractors.
So imagine you're seeing a lower cartel moving into Chicago and you want to set up distribution there. The golden chain, the pointy booted persona is not going to fit in well in Southside Chicago.
Right.
So I need locals.
Mm-hmm.
So you need partnerships and distributions with some of these people. And then you need loyalty. So you're going to have some sort of organism there that is going to enforce your loyalty with these people that are going to distribute for you. So basically, there's numbers out there that are over 150 to 190 armed groups in Mexico moving around. By this I mean gangs of people dedicating themselves to drug trafficking, to protecting, to extortion, to prostitution, to moving people around. And what these small groups basically do is like, hey, look, I have a bunch of guys with guns, and we're very well respected in the area. Hey, Sinaloa Cartel, you want to hire us on as contractors? We'll take care of this part, the space for you.
Right.
So that's kind of the realm of the gangs specifically, to be both present security, to safeguard areas of local distribution, because that's one of those elements that a lot of people don't think about. Mexico has a giant drug market in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. Everyone always thinks in terms of cartels and bringing all the drugs into the United States, but you forget Mexicans like to get high, right?
Yeah, a lot. From licking toads in Sonora to factories producing fentanyl now in Mexico. The drug market in Mexico itself is what pushes a lot of the violence that you see as far as the death toll.
Mm.
So, example of this, Tijuana. Most of the deaths in Tijuana right now being reported. There's a lot of Americans live in Tijuana, and they're like, hey, I don't see the violence. Like, what's this whole thing about the violence here? It's related to people selling drugs on a corner, getting shot by the rival distribution networks, and then them getting vengeance on the other guy, shooting that guy. So in a night, you have 5, 6, 8 distributors being killed on the street corners.
And right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, part of it is just kind of us thinking that the world revolves around us, even when it comes to doing drugs, because we're constantly thinking about us and drugs and demand, but we never... And that the cartels are there just to serve us, essentially, yeah. Meaning citizens of the United States. But you never really think about, Mexicans, they want to do drugs too. And the cartels are right there. You don't have to cross the border. Do you have any idea what a percentage, how a percentage would break down? Like if you're the Sinaloa cartel, how much of your business is in the United States versus in Mexico?
A lot of their business is basically based around trafficking drugs is one of their main businesses, right? Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know about percentages, but like ways they make money, trafficking drugs, selling drugs locally. Local drug markets are a big moneymaker for them as well. Protection, extortion. Money laundering. Money laundering is a pretty interesting one.
Let's talk about that because we never really talk about the money laundering.
Yeah, it used to be money laundering. You would have people in Mexico dedicating themselves to money laundering. Over the years, the U.S. has implemented certain strategies with the Mexican government to make it harder for people to move money around. I mean, you see examples of this in L.A., the garment district in L.A., the high fashion district in L.A. was a giant Sinaloa cartel front to move money into move money in and out of Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. There's been a series of major money busts in the garment district and the fashion district of L.A. $30 million, $40 million, I'm talking about these types of numbers, where sometimes you would have to drive cash loads down to Tijuana or down to Sinaloa or wherever. That's too risky. So they've been trying to figure out different ways of doing it. And one of those ways is to basically buy, let's say there's a store that sells high-value garments here in L.A. I go and make a cash payment of these garments. These garments are sent down in Mexico. They're resold down in Mexico, and the profit goes to whoever wants to clean that money. That was one way they would do it. But now you're starting to see new players coming into this whole money laundering game. High amount people from China because of, why not,
right?
The Chinese are kind of taking control of the money laundering game for the cartels in the U.S. in places like Canada and also in obviously in Mexico. So you're starting seeing these individuals from China that have companies or have connections with companies that will take some of that drug money, infuse it into some of these Chinese companies that are working in the U.S. or companies that have assets in the U.S. and also in China, and injecting that money into some of these cash transfer apps from China into China, and basically they make a virtual wall for law enforcement agencies in the U.S. because China and the U.S. don't talk financially.
Right. Is every time we talk, it seems like Chinese and China's presence in Mexico seems to be growing. We're talking about them building the labs, the fentanyl labs, them having the experience, technology to build those labs that the cartels don't. Chinese are pretty good at ingratiating themselves into situations, stealing technology, making money off it.
Well, the example of how they're hiding, how they're making money off moving money for the cartels that they supply with that they supply with precursors to make drugs. There's a case right now, Gang Xiangbing. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce that. $530,000 laundered. There's a case in Chicago right now. It's related to basically somebody from the cartels hiring that guy to launder the money. So the interesting thing about the rules, as you say, the Chinese don't follow the rules that the Americans have, this is law and order and all that. So they make the money disappear by grabbing it, putting it into China, into the Chinese financial system, and then having that money sent to other companies in Mexico and turning them into pesos before they get there. They're not going to turn to dollars, and the money just
disappears.
It's legal now again. Well, yes. I mean, it's not legal. It just made its transfer into cartel hands down south, right?
Are the what is in terms of the drugs of choice in Mexico? Is it about the same as here, or they have a particular preference?
So one thing straight up that I can tell you is you have here in California, your weed game is there's no comparison to weed from California in the world, I think, right now. So Mexicans, a lot of Mexicans like weed a lot, mm-hmm. but they don't know that they're suffering with the horrible, shitty, dry ass weed with a bunch of sticks in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that gets consumed a lot by young people in Mexico, and a lot of that a lot of those proceeds actually go into local cartels basically because of the
so the cartels bringing drugs from California, marijuana, into Mexico.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people do it, and some organized crime elements are actually bringing civilianly, medical grade or some of the stuff you have available up here. They're putting it into Mexico, and so it's a weird thing. You're seeing some of these smoke canisters down there now, vaping canisters down there now, and you know they just legalized recreational marijuana in Mexico, but it's a slow process. So it's mm-hmm. like one of those things that's too little, too late in a way.
Mm-hmm. So. We sort of decriminalized it here. It used to be a pretty big money maker for the cartels, marijuana, bringing it over here, yeah. right? And then we kind of eliminated that by making it ourselves and decriminalizing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but now they have companies up here that they invest in. Now they have illegal grows happening in public lands on the U.S. side that they manage.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have weird synthetic cannabinoids being mixed in with the stuff that is available publicly legally, and people don't know what they're smoking. And sometimes, and a lot of it is U.S. based cartel activity now. So it's not the line isn't there where the cartels are doing something with weed on that side and something else is happening on this side. I mean, they're on both sides of it.
Is and then how we with fentanyl?
I mean, it's right now the fentanyl is basically being utilized to give a kick to everything, right? Bogus pain medication laced with fentanyl, fentanyl-laced heroin, and right now just making fake pills, just having big giant presses making fake pain pills that are basically fentanyl-laced pills.
That might be passed off as Oxycontin or some version of pharmaceutical pill.
There's a bunch of pictures online, some of them posted by law enforcement agencies here in the U.S. that I've seen, and I've seen some of the fake pain medication, and they're not. I mean, if you're a pillhead, you can tell the difference, right? But they're getting pretty good at faking them now. I mean, the packaging, everything is pretty interestingly.
How much of that is China?
Most of it. I mean, they're the ones that manufacture and sell the pill presses. They're the one that manufacture and sell the packaging situation for them, and they're the ones that basically set up the pipeline of some of these precursors into Mexico and sometimes into the U.S. as well, because some of the stuff is also coming in directly from China to here mm-hmm. and being utilized in fabrication in the U.S. by cartels.
So. Cartels are just sort of ever evolving. They have to kind of stay ahead of the game. They have to diversify all the time. You hear about human trafficking a lot. That always sounds weird to me that there's human trafficking in, now 2021. What do the cartels do vis-a-vis human trafficking?
I mean, human trafficking is a moneymaker in a lot of ways. It's one of their biggest moneymakers. Basically, they're the landlords of the border. So if there's a border and there's a possibility to cross there undetected, it means that somebody owns it on the cartel side. So they're mm-hmm. landlords there. So they get a cut of everybody going into that region to try and cross the border. If you go to some of these places, and I'm going to have to upload some of those images and videos of some of these places on my Instagram account if people want to check it out. But it's there's like these little shops there. So you can buy your camouflage, your hunting camo setup, so you can cross the border, but you have to buy it, and the cartel sell it to you. You can have your 72-hour bag that they sell to you as well, with water and cannery and stuff like that. They'll sell you shoes with carpets on the bottom. So basically, they'll kit you out, but you have to pay for it.
Shoes with carpets on the bottom.
Yeah, they're meant to not leave tracks. They're pretty hit and miss as far as their effectiveness, but and also things like black plastic water jugs, so they're not reflective, so that you don't get seen when you're moving around in the desert. All that gets paid to in these little stores that are run by the cartel. So that's making the money. Also, the passage, paying a coyote to cross you, that costs money. $5,000, $8,000, depending on who, how, and where. And some of these things are basically, some of the people doing that will basically write an IOU to the cartels or the criminal group that crosses them. So now they're, in all senses of the word, endangered servants to some of these people.
So most people trying to get across don't have $5,000 or $8,000 laying around, that have enough for the kit and the carpet shoes and everything like that, but they'll work it off. I'm curious, I'll tease the answer. What industries are they working it off in, or what are the main industries they're working it off in? And then how do you enforce somebody working it off if, in fact, they just go off into the night and settle somewhere? How do you get your $8,000 back? I'll tease that. I got to do a quick spot here.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HDS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like Promisant Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a Secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first 3 glorious years of the ACE Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut.
So, Ed, before the break, we were teasing the cartels and the human trafficking. And it's insane to me that there's still human trafficking going on in this modern era. But it's a little bit different than, I don't know, bringing people over in a container ship and selling them as sex slaves or not.
I don't think it is.
Really?
I think the only thing that changes in people, it's the way it's presented, right? So you talk about slave ships, you know, that's one thing. But people are being put into containers and left in the desert to maybe die of heat stroke. So that does happen. Women are usually sexually assaulted several times before they make it to the border. And sometimes if they find them of a certain type, they might not let them cross the border and use them for sex trafficking in Mexico or the U.S.
So if you are coming from El Salvador, Honduras, or Nicaragua or something like that, and you're trying to pass through Mexico, and you're going to need the cartel's help and a coyote to get from Mexico to Los Angeles, if you're young and you're beautiful, they'll go, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll keep you here.
We'll keep you here. We'll keep you here, or we'll just abduct you. Or we will keep, 2 of your family members separate from you and basically use you as leverage towards them or them towards you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of psychological stuff like that happens. Like some people just can't, don't realize that some of the places where prostitution is prevalent in Mexico and in the U.S. in some places, they just don't, why don't these women just run? Because they're highly motivated programmers that work with them, from women to men that are there just to groom them as sex slaves in a way, and or sex workers. And it's an art form to them. So people going across that border for different reasons. I mean, they want to meet up back with family that are living over here. They want the American dream. Some of them want to just the American, they want to figure out a way to make money, whatever they are. But the amount of people that just disappear in that divide, between, hey, I'm going up there to the U.S. I'll send you a message when I'm up there, and just people disappear, right? The amount of people that disappear just in the desert from trying to wing it themselves or just being abandoned by a coyote, and the amount of people that just disappear is staggering. I mean, I don't think there's any place like it in the world where just people just vanish, in Mexico. And a lot of that has to do with just people are used as a commodity by some of these groups down there.
So getting back to the payment plan, they front you the coyote and the travel kit and all that kind of stuff. You cross in here with your carpet slippers on. You get to Los Angeles and you got to get a job, and now you got to pay them back.
Yeah, well, sometimes it could be you front yourself, the cartel fronts you, or family members on the U.S. side front you.
Mm-hmm.
And the cartels might call somebody, you know, your cousin Antonio that lives in L.A. that works three jobs or something like that. Hey, your sister? Yeah, well, we have her. She crossed the border. Yeah, but, you know, we told you 5,000? Yeah, it's got to be 10 now.
Mm-hmm. And so he's got to pay it back.
Yeah. So that, in any other part of the world, that's abduction for ransom, right?
Right.
That goes on in the U.S. every day. But the problem is that they focus on immigration and the immigration populace, which doesn't report anything.
Right. So nobody's going to drop a dime on these guys because
perfect crime.
Right. Because they don't. It's sort of like ripping off a drug dealer.
Yeah.
If the drug dealer didn't retaliate.
Yes. And I'm not saying that every single person that crosses the border and comes up here and works picking lettuce or working at a winery that a certain governor owns or whatever. Whatever.
Newsom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Essential workers.
Yes.
Essential workers, if you're picking grapes there. It was open during COVID, but, you know, fact check me if you want. I'm not saying that all of them are paying dues to the cartels, but a big portion, all of them had to, in some way, shape, or form, put money into the pockets of criminal groups to get up here. It's just, there's no way around it. And if nothing happened to them, something could happen to other people that went through that same process that they did. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes people call me out because of me talking about some of these things. Like, what if you had to go through that process? I'm like, well, I mean, it'd be a rough one, you know, but it's not a victimless crime. It's a thing. There's a lot of people that go in through that process and don't come out, and you never hear about them.
Does the Mexican government have any interest in stymieing this or slowing it down or doing anything to thwart it?
One of the pillars of the Mexican economy is Mexicans coming up here, working, and sending money back down to Mexico.
Right.
One of the biggest pressure points that Trump actually pressed on the Mexican government was threatening to charge certain tariffs of Mexicans in the U.S., sending money back down to Mexico. That was what the government down there was like, oh, that's what do you want, basically. So it's the backbone. So Mexico as a government, I think, just has no will to stymie the ability of Mexicans to cross the border illegally. It's just not the case.
Well, you think about what a large part of your economy that would be, people going into another country and then just sending money back. That's the ultimate Ponzi scheme. I mean, it's the gift that keeps giving. You don't have to build any infrastructure or warehouses or roads, or you don't do anything. You just send the money,
yeah.
Send the money back. But they must have a way to tax that money.
I mean, that's the thing. Mexico is a wild land. I think the past administration was the first one that tried to regularize commerce in Mexico. What I mean by that is most people were doing commerce irregularly on the street. or just starting business in the backyard. You know, the whole, just like here in LA, some people are doing it, right? But
how does one tax? How does the tax system work in Mexico?
Now, if you want to put your money in a bank, you're going to get you're going to get a tax, basically. El SAT, basically our IRS is going to figure out how much to tax you, and you have to go through a process of setting up a company and paying all the taxes on it. It's not easy, and most people just go around it. And historically, many people would just, you know, have been just going around it. Basically, it's irregular. It's the Wild West. Mexico's the Wild West.
Is it more so the Wild West in 2021 than it was in 1980?
Well, death toll wise, it is more so the Wild West right now. I mean, you would think that deaths would have slowed down because of COVID, as far as violent deaths that right. involve lead, not viruses. Not the case. It's the bloodiest year in our modern history. Yeah.
Bloodiest year in history.
In modern history for Mexico.
It's weird because we just don't really report on it out here. We just don't feel like there's an appetite for it.
I think it has something to do with, the political will up here is weird as far as, you know, left versus right. And I've been looking at what's been happening yesterday and today, kind of seeing some of the aftermath of the whole thing. And people want to put everybody in a box or a side. If you're from Mexico or you're Mexican descent or Latin, you have to be on one side. If you're not, you have to be on the other. I think the silence you hear on reporting from that side, reporting from Mexico into U.S. is because both sides of the political aisle are ashamed of some of the weird stuff that happens down there in plain sight of everybody.
Well, the news outlets in the United States are, you know, pretty left-leaning and pretty progressive. I know some people don't think that, but if you take a look at CNN's reporting, it's, you know, pretty left-leaning. And it doesn't seem to behoove them to paint Mexico or Mexicans as anything other than hardworking, struggling family people who are yearning for a better life. Like, that's their theme. And having a bunch of dead people and drug cartels and all that doesn't seem to fit with their narrative. So maybe that's why we're not getting the straight dope.
I get that too. Hey, Ed, you're from Mexico. Why don't you speak about the beautiful things about Mexico? Well, I wasn't a tourist agent. Mm-hmm. I was working for fighting against cartels down there. Mexico has a lot of hardworking people, has a middle class. There's a lot of culture. Coco was an amazing film. Mm-hmm. Tortillas are awesome. Tacos are great. All that's great. But also, people disappear at an industrial level down there. Cartels own states. There's a no-fly zone over Sinaloa because cartels have anti-aircraft capabilities.
Really? Let's talk about that.
But it is
that Russian stuff or Chinese stuff? Or American stuff?
I've seen American stuff from the 90s that you probably, when I say you, I mean the U.S. probably sold it to friendly forces in South America. And those South American friendly forces said, ooh, fire sale. So everybody gets their own rocket launcher, man pad, mm-hmm. Remote control missile guided systems and stuff like that. And now you're getting a Russian Soviet bloc era RPG type artifacts found all over Mexico, and just people just making drone technology into bombs now. Mm-hmm. even personnel carriers. There's a video I posted on my Instagram. If you want to see it, it's a video of a quad drone carrying a smuggler.
Really?
As a test. It's a cartel version of the Iron Man suit test, I think.
Like a weird thing. Edsmanifesto.com?
Yeah, at the Instagram on Ed's Manifesto. It's like a third post.
I'd like to see that video.
There you go. That's the that's cartel Tony Stark testing his.
Is that an electric motor or gas powered?
I think that's a gas powder. Yeah, that quad drone.
Seemed like it.
Those are Chinese made. It's not specific.
There's a guy basically hanging on a couple of skis, like right and left, like you'd be hanging off a parallel bar at a park or something. It's got this quad. I guess it's quad.
It's a quad. It's a large quadro. It's pretty well. No, it's
it looks like
six,
five or six propellers yeah. on there, and one could theoretically pop up, go over a wall, and drop down on the other side. Is that
yeah.
what we're talking about?
Or Prison Break, and or one of the first drug drones that found in Mexico was at in Tijuana. And I was took a picture of it. It looked like one of those. This is the thing where the arms race and they're always trying to figure things out. So the Mexican government is still fighting it as a police problem. They think they're fighting a gang with let's set up patrols here, let's put more cop cars here, let's do this, let's do that. They're fighting the same war in the same way for 20 years, and it's these guys are now they fly, you know?
Right.
Now they can fly.
So they never stop innovating.
No. They never stop innovating, and also, it's an insurgence. It's a narco insurgency in Mexico. It's not a police problem. It's not a Mexican DARE program won't change it. Mm-hmm. Community policing won't change it. Is the systemic corruption in Mexico is not helping, but it's an insurgency. I mean, the denial on both sides of the border that Mexico was involved in an internal conflict that is more akin to an insurgency than a gang problem, because that's what people think it is. But, you know, they have rocket launchers, they're transnational, they have submarines. Fully submersible ones now, apparently. I one of the first times I came on here, I talked about they had access to fully submersibles, but none had been captured till then. Well, that changed during the first part of this year. They found a fully submersible now in Colombia.
Oh, they did. Yeah, they would have these kind of semi-submersible yeah. ones that would leave a smaller radar. You know, footprint, but yeah. they weren't fully submersible. Yeah. This is like the technology of going fully is kind of a leap between the semi.
Well, from what I know they have the capability and have had the capability for more than a decade. And the U.S. just has not caught on to it till recently.
Do we have any pictures of that fully submersible that they that they were able to? And how did they find it, and where did they find it?
I think it was in Colombia. It's they make them down there. There's a bunch of boat yards basically making these semi-submersibles. And I think the leap came for them technology-wise with the batteries.
Right.
So these are battery-powered, and they got access to some pretty legit good batteries that would sustain them for the long haul.
Yeah, well, the thing is you can't run an internal combustion engine underwater unless there's an air source. So you can't be fully submersible and not run off batteries. Even American, you know, World War II submarines ran off of batteries once they were at depth, you know. Yeah. It's kind of crazy if you think about the 40s. There it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of them. I don't know if that's a fully submersible one, but there's been a lot of those. Also, there's small submersibles, like the ones that are like from that they use in, like, but that Titanic movie documentary used mm-hmm. that type of stuff.
Right.
And also just boats carrying some of this stuff underwater, dragging it as they go with buoy systems that will activate when somebody comes to pick up something. You know, that happens too, you know.
Oh, so they drag them under the water.
Yeah.
In case somebody shows up.
Yeah, somebody shows up and they'll just release it and it'll go down. And when they want it, they'll activate the beacon.
And it'll pop back up. Oh. So they have like an inflatable beacon. They'll have it weighted. If the Coast Guard shows up, they'll cut tether.
That's an old way, but they still do that, you know. And that on a par with drones flying things over the border, drug tunnels somewhere in the vicinity of 50, according to some people.
Yeah, where are we with the drug tunnels? Because it was something we were talking about before. It seemed pretty insane.
Yeah,
how they did those.
They're still active. I mean, you can tell by the. The only thing that's fluctuated a bit in price has been fentanyl and fentanyl-related products. And the only reason, and meth had a bit of fluctuation during COVID, but it was mostly related to the fact that one of the cartels in Mexico didn't have access to a port, which is Sinaloa cartel. They didn't have access to Pacific side ports like the New Generation cartel, which is that big cartel that's expanding right now down there. So you saw the disparity between these two cartels. One of them was getting pumped with everything they needed from China because they control one of the biggest ports in Mexico on the Pacific side. And the other one was smuggling fentanyl from San Diego into Tijuana. So their prices were...
How much competition slash killing slash, you know, conglomeration is there? I mean, are these guys willing to live and let live, or are they going to take over and eliminate other cartels?
Sinaloa cartel is a federation of cartels, basically. It's a group of different cartels, different criminal organizations kind of combined into one. Mm-hmm. And there's rivalries and infighting. You know, a lot of the El Chapo's kids that were left behind and in charge are fighting with factions of another Sinaloa cartel cell. And there's killings happening in Sinaloa. And there's a lot of that. But you go south and to New Generation cartel territory, and those guys are just expanding. They're not in it. Their style is completely different. They're kind of militaristic. They have a very militarized way of going into towns and going into hearts and minds and building hospitals for people, paying for immigration processes, getting people started up with small business in the U.S. side by injecting cash into their lives and then saying, hey, dude, now we own you, basically. Now you're on the U.S. side. And also just recruitment. These guys are recruiting ex-military, ex-police, they're investing in training. Most of the videos that are out online right now, these guys in full military regalia with, you know, rocket launchers and stuff like that, kind of like in a full display of power, most of them are from this cartel. That's the route they're taking. They're not taking the classic cartel route where we're going to hide in the hills. No, these guys are like, we're the army now. That's their kind of mentality in some of the regions where they're operating.
I always ask this, but is there any end in sight, anything short of like a full military intervention from, you know, the United States?
I don't see it. I don't see anything other than first treating them as what they are and declaring them as what they are. They're a terrorist organization. They're multiple small terrorist organizations working through terror to grow in their influence, to remain in their power, to keep their drug markets and to push the political agenda in Mexico that fits their interest the most. And they fit all of the parameters except that they don't. They're not from the Middle East.
How's the current administration in Mexico with the cartels? And what would happen if the president of Mexico declared war on the cartels?
The last time something overtly happened like that, where a president declared war in the cartels, was the Felipe Calderon administration, which was the administration where I was still active in. And it was very poorly planned. They overestimated the ability of the army to do anything specific to counteract, to go into a police and counter-narcotics role in Mexico. And there was corruption at the highest levels. So basically, Felipe Calderon's right-hand man, Garcia Luna, is now under arrest in the U.S. and is being prosecuted for cartel relationships. And that was your number two in Mexico when the war was declared against the cartels.
Right.
It didn't turn out too well because it depended on the Mexican army. And the Mexican army has historically been corrupted at various levels, as we saw with this recent arrest that may or may not be actually cartel related, but could be, maybe it's a case of mistaken identity. Maybe it's a case that, you know, this guy was actually working with the U.S. government in a way and the left hand didn't talk to the right, whatever the case may be. And you saw that because later on when they continued on the fight, the Mexican Marines took the place of the Mexican army. The El Chapo raid was done by the Mexican Marines, La Marina, not the Mexican army.
Mm. So that's the army couldn't be trusted. They've been compromised.
So that the U.S. said, we're going to bet on those guys now. And now some of those guys are they've shown up in places where they shouldn't be.
The Marines. So really, you know, everyone just stop for a moment and think about this concept. This country can't use its own army because the army's been bought.
Yeah.
That's a, if you really just think about that concept, you know, picture that concept in the United States, picture that concept in Canada or Europe where you go, sorry, Sweden can't use their air force.
No,
it's been corrupted.
Or just the image of your president somewhere. Imagine you have a president and you have a, something the Americans can equate him to. Let's say you have a gangster era guy, Capone. Mm-hmm. You have Al Capone. What would happen if the president of the United States during the time of Al Capone would have conned, when he was arrested, what if the president of the United States would have conned to visit Al Capone's mom and his lawyer and in front of the cameras shook hands and, you know, I'll fix it, I'll figure it out. What would happen? Like what would happen in the minds of Americans if something like that happened?
Well, you kind of cease being a nation, I guess.
Yeah,
like
a failed state.
Yeah, if your army can't be trusted, then I just don't know what kind of nation you would be. You'd be a failed state. Yeah, it's
I go back to the whole denial. We're in denial as in the U.S. and in Mexico, they're just in denial that it's a failed state, that it's a cartel state in certain parts of it, and that trying to invest in Mexico, as all of us are doing through our taxes and paying for things like uniforms, guns, police cruisers, police salaries down in Mexico because of the bilateral kind of efforts that the U.S. has and agreements that the U.S. has with Mexico to fight the cartels. And all that money we're pumping into it, and we're going into the bloodiest year in our history, so it's not doing anything. And the fentanyl epidemic up here is just insane.
So up here, you're talking about Mexico or you're talking about SoCal?
We're talking about U.S.
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 It strikes me that these cartel guys are great business people, and they don't want a bunch of bad ink.
Yeah.
And so you don't really hear about trouble going on in tourist locations.
Yeah.
You people here happily go to Puerto Vallarta and have drinks and eat and rent a house and blah, blah, blah. So it would seem to me that would be a political kind of disaster for them for a cartel to go shoot up a hotel or something like that.
Something like that recently happened, and it's
really
pretty interesting.
I want to know.
There's a restaurant in Puerto Vallarta. Was it Puerto Vallarta? I think it was. There's a former governor of the state goes and eats at this restaurant and gets assassinated there. That's pretty high level in Mexico if you're a former governor and you get assassinated. The rumor is that he was assassinated in – this is one of those – it's an area that is high. It's high monetary value of people that live there. The restaurant is high value restaurant. So this is not a place where things like that happen. These are places where people pay for protection. These are places where companies and stuff like that. There's an agreement with all levels of whatever legit and cartel government are there. So things don't happen there usually. But this guy got shot, and the whole kind of rumor is that he was working with another cartel in that area, and the cartel that's a rival. Oh, you think you're safe here because you work with him? Boom. There you go.
But you don't hear anything about tourists being shot or you would know. Yeah, don't let me tell you. I just mean, it just seems like it would be bad for business.
It is bad for business. But the thing is that, so you have to think about this like in this way. Some of these groups do have a sway and or influence and or own some of these places that are highly touristic, and it's in their best interest for things not to happen there. So if you're my rival and I want to create insecurity and disrupt your business, I'll go there and do something.
Oh,
and sometimes things like that do happen. Sometimes Americans do get in situations where they're in the crossfire of, in some of these places, or you know, some things don't get reported. Sometimes things happen in Mexico and just don't get reported. People get express kidnapping done on them. They get driven to an ATM. They get emptied out. They go on a plane. They come to the U.S. and they don't want to go to Mexico anymore. And that's just that. You know, they got off free in a way, or alive. A lot of stuff. The thing that there's no. Sometimes there's nobody to report to in Mexico. Most crimes never get solved in Mexico. It's a black hole in that way. So again, Wild West, and we don't hear about some of these things most times because just it nobody cares down there in a lot of ways. And some of these places traditionally are kind of safe, but as things are right now in Mexico, where there's a power play between two giant cartel organizations that have influence, not just in Mexico, but in the U.S., Canada, some of these groups have links all the way to Europe and Africa and Asia. The rules are going to change. So it's that I think that's what you're seeing right now when things that traditionally didn't happen are happening now. Ex-governors getting executed. Overt money laundering from Chinese state actors of some sort, moving drug money that's been cracked wide open by a few news sources out there. So I'm not saying anything secret. But it's all that stuff usually didn't happen before. So you're seeing basically like it's gearing up towards something, right? And if you kind of see it, if you stand back and look at it, it seems like the new generation cartel is somehow sponsored by China or Chinese state. And it seems like the Sinaloa cartel is the one that the U.S. favors as far as we'd rather keep the status quo with them. That's what it seems like from a Mexican perspective.
To me, the Chinese influence is scary because, A, they're scary. B, they seem like they want to innovate and not go old school. Maybe there was an old school mentality that, people, I guess the mob had it over here. You know, you just leave the wife and kids out of the equation, or you do. There's a certain etiquette,
yeah,
almost. And it seems like the Chinese are just like, let's figure out how much money we can make as fast as we can make it, and let's bring a bunch of innovation versus a kind of an old school mentality to it. And it seems like that's going to move things along in a negative direction at a much faster speed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and again, I mean, if they are your main adversaries on a global scale, they have a president for life. And the U.S. doesn't. The U.S. is struggling right now between two people and a one-term president and strife and people in the Capitol building wearing buffalo helmets and all this stuff happening. And I can't help but imagine the enemies of this country are just eating popcorn and kind of patting each other on the back somehow.
Oh, they had to enjoy the freak show from the other day. Let me give you a plug, Ed. Edsmanifesto.com is where you go. Also, you can check out him. He will teach courses in anti-abduction techniques, weaponology, how to hide weapons as well.
Yeah.
You can shoot him a tweet, by the way, and Instagram at Edmanifesto as well, and see some of these amazing images that Ed has, maybe even the donkey show. I don't know if he's put that up on his Instagram page yet. But he's laughing. He showed me a picture last night.
It's real.
It's real. And I got to tell you, you're talking to the one podcast host that literally scoured every inch of Tijuana looking for that donkey show when I was 17, came up snake eyes, and then announced it was nothing but an urban lore. But Ed Calderon's here to tell me, that donkey's real. It ain't the chupacabra, people. All right. Ed, where did the hour go? I'll tell you, man, it always flies because you show up here with so much information. And just the average American just has no goddamn idea what's going on over there in old Mexico. Again, edsmanifesto.com is the website. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you.
We'll do it again soon. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Ed Calderon, Gina Grad, and Paul Ryan saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.